This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Detroit Lions have brought into play the possibility that they could get Chase Young. The Detroit Lions, would we agree that they would need the second overall pick, most likely, to really, really have a solid shot at Chase Young? If you have the third pick, it's possible the two quarterback needy teams would be ahead of you, but it'd be less, it's less likely that that's the case. Like, you really, if you want Chase Young, you want to be in the top two, correct?
Yes. I mean, the Bengals look like they are committed to being the worst team in football. They have one win. They just got their first win, and they definitely need a quarterback. So you would expect them to go quarterback with a first pick. But beyond that, then you got the Dolphins, are a team that has three wins. Would they want a quarterback? Yeah, probably. The Giants have two wins. Nope, they don't want a quarterback. The Redskins have three wins. They don't want a quarterback. The Lions have three wins. They're not going to take a quarterback. The Falcons have three wins. They're probably not going to take a quarterback, although they might. Arizona has three wins. They won't take a quarterback. So you need... you need to get up there.
Got to get to number two.
Got to get to number two.
So we started, you know, yesterday after the show, we were discussing the feasibility of getting to number two. And Lions are currently in the sixth spot at 3-8-1. Now, every time this comes up, probably for the next month, I'm sure there's going to be texters and people that are wondering about the beer bet that I made with what turned out to be 25 separate listeners. This is in play. Me losing this bet is absolutely in play. When we made the bet, I think I even acknowledged, and you acknowledged, and we all kind of, well, not all of us, you and I acknowledged, if Stafford gets hurt, this could happen, but injuries are unpredictable. I'll feel pretty comfortable making this bet. It is now in play, and it's a possibility. I don't know if I call it a strong possibility. I have no problem with losing the bet. I'm okay if I have to buy 25 beers. I don't know that we'll arrange a station event and invite the people that made it to the air and made the bet, invite you all out, you know, and that there'd probably be some, we'd have
some
to get
legal.
Yeah. We'd probably have to get legal involved, knowing how the company works. And the one time Gator had to drink a beer out of a shoe on the air. It led to a string of like 50 emails involving corporate lawyers and all these, you know, he has to arrange a ride and nobody can be held. You have to sign off, can't be held accountable. And we're just like, It was
crazy.
It was actually, it would have been entertaining just to read the string of emails on the air that all of that led to. So we might not be able to do a station event. It might be me buying 25 separate, either a case,
a case of beer,
or
people come to the station pick up your one beer.
Pick up your one beer. I'm glad to do it. Okay. I have no problem doing it, especially if it means that the Lions get a shot at Chase Young. Well, but we're going to have to give this disclaimer all the time, because it's gotten to be a once or twice a day call or text about Doug and the bet he's going to lose.
It's gotten to the point here, Doug, where if the Lions end up with the second pick overall and you lose the bet,
yeah,
I'm gonna contribute to half that case of beer for you.
You know what? Maybe we do this another. Well, it's up to you. That's fine. Maybe we give everybody two beers.
I would be so happy that the Lions would have the second pick overall.
Yeah,
and then just our luck, the Bengals would trade out of the top spot, let somebody else take Chase Young at number one.
It's possible that could happen.
Yeah, and then Lions would pass on Joe Burrow and.
But remember, the thing about the bet was it was one of the top four picks. So they don't even need to have the second pick.
Yeah.
The way this will probably work is, what is the worst case scenario? They'll probably finish in the fifth spot, just outside of the bet, but still as bad as they could possibly be. Or they'll just fall one spot short of getting Chase Young, just like they fell one spot short of getting Josh Allen last year. But what needs to happen? The Giants are the real problem here. Cincinnati has got to have the number one overall pick. And that seems quite possible. They have Cleveland twice, New England. At Miami could be dicey. But Miami's playing better. But to move past Detroit, Cleveland would have to win 3 of 4, and Cincinnati. They're not going to do that. For Cincinnati to move past Detroit in the draft order, they have to win 3 of 4, and they're not going to do that. The Giants are 2-10, and they need to win 2. And this is where it gets problematic. They have Philly twice, and Philly is falling apart.
But Philly is still in the thick. They can still win their division.
They're a game out of first, but they've lost 3 in a row. We need Philly to continue to stink up the joint. But they play Miami and at Washington. So that's two games that the Giants could win. Miami and at Washington without much of a stretch. Washington, meanwhile, is 3-9. They're at Green Bay. They play Philly, the Giants, and at Dallas. But we already need the Giants to beat Washington. So we kind of need Washington to beat Philly. There's a common thread through this. If you want the Lions to get Chase Young, the wild card team to watch is Philly. You want Philly to suck the rest of the way and to lose to the Giants, lose to Washington, because that'll open up the door. If the Eagles start to win some games and get into contention here and beat these teams, it'll be hard for Detroit to get to Chase Young. Miami needs to win one game. They're at the Jets, at the Giants, Cincy, and at New England.
Well, they've got three opportunities.
Three opportunities. Atlanta needs to win some games. They have Carolina at San Francisco, Jacksonville, and at Tampa. They have three opportunities to win some games.
That's not, it's not punch button easy, but the Falcons have shown the ability to be a good football team.
Yep.
And yet they have three wins.
And with the Lions placing every other player on injured reserve and David Blau at quarterback, very well could lose out. Very well could lose out.
Well, they could, except they refused to put the quarterback on IR.
I know.
They put the backup quarterback on IR, who, by the way, was dressed in Sunday, ready to play on Thanksgiving. He was dressed. He was the emergency quarterback. He was ready to play if he had to. A little banged up. Then Sunday they decide, he's going to go on IR. How do you go from dressed on Sunday and he didn't play to done for the rest of the year?
You had a setback?
If he had a setback, I'm fine with that.
But or do we think this is more excuses being, foundation being laid for excuses for why we suck so we should be back?
Or what? Yeah.
I'm speaking as if I'm the...
I'm wondering what, because that's just a really curious move where a guy is dressed and could possibly play in a Thanksgiving Day game, is now placed on IR, and yet you've got a quarterback that allegedly and reportedly has broken bones in his back, and he's not placed on IR for a team that has no chance of making the playoffs. They've been mathematically eliminated from the playoff picture. I don't get it. And then Patricia's asked about it yesterday, and he's given Patricia answers, things of that nature, that whole bit, and talking about the competitive nature of, and things of that nature. From that standpoint with Matthew Stafford. And look, I appreciate Matthew Stafford's competitive spirit. I really do. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that he wants to earn the money that he's being paid, and everybody likes to bring up the money when it comes to Matthew Stafford. But I think we can all agree, all Lions fans can agree at this point, don't play him the rest of the way.
He doesn't need to play.
He needs to be on IR. Hawkinson's on IR now?
Yep. All right, 248-539-9797. A couple things here. I want to talk more about Stafford, but we do need to talk about if they get the number two pick, which is probably the ceiling for this team if everything goes right/wrong. They could get to number two. Chase Young likely would be in play, but are we sure that should be the pick? Let's get to your phone calls. Phil is in Livonia, and he's on 97.1.
Gentlemen.
Phil!
How we doing?
What's up?
I got a little conspiracy theory. I don't know if it's a conspiracy theory, but I think it's a theory nonetheless. Okay, so they didn't put Stafford on the IR, right?
Yep.
I think Stafford wants to play, which is going to mess up our chance of a draft pick because no one else will probably win. And then cause I think he wants to play because I think he's afraid that he knows or thinks we might draft another quarterback, hence the end of the Stafford era.
Do you really think that, or is that just something you're grasping at to...
No, I really believe that because, honestly, let's talk about Stafford's back. It's been a problem for a couple years, I think.
was a problem at the end of last season, and it's been a problem this season.
Yeah, I would say this. Here's why I would think that even if that were the case, it wouldn't be a giant issue for him. Because wouldn't that be, he'd be like, okay, well, I'll get a fresh start somewhere else. It's not like he'd be out of a job. He just wouldn't be here.
I mean, he is having the best season of his career.
Yeah.
How about this theory, though? What if Bengals don't take Burrow, they don't take Chase Young, we do get the second pick, and then we draft Burrow?
Well, that was the question we were going to ask at 10:35. Is Chase Young, if everything goes right/wrong, and they get up to number two, is it a punch button pick to take Chase Young? Or do you go a different direction? Would you take a quarterback, Phil?
I would take Burrow because I don't think we lack talent on the defensive side. I think it's our defensive coordinator that's got to go.
Okay.
I think we have a lot of talent on the defensive side.
And you get a guy that could be top five quarterback.
I'd take Burrow if he's available. No. But if he's not, then you got to go with Chase Young, the next best thing.
So I'm perfectly comfortable with them sticking with Matthew Stafford moving forward, provided that there's no lingering health effects. There might be, in which case, they're kind of screwed anyway. Because if you can get a guy and pay him a much, much, much cheaper and you're sure he's going to be good, I see the argument. Here's the deal, though. I think if they replace the defensive coordinator, which I don't know if that even is just the head coach, but whatever, they have a better philosophy next year defensively. I don't know that anybody in Detroit would disagree that they have more talent than the defense is showing. Like the talent they have on the roster defensively and the output they're getting is they aren't lining up. They're not getting the output for what they're getting. You know, they're taking a good defensive roster and turning it into a failing product instead of a good, not great, but a good defensive roster and turning it into a great defense. Like the best coaches can take a good roster and make them great. This one, it's going the opposite direction. But you make that change, whether it's a coordinator or whatever, they could reprogram, which I wouldn't hate. At the very least, if these guys stick around, they need to rethink how they're doing things. And, that's the only thing I would think that would give them any hope. And add Chase Young. But, some people won't think this is a no-brainer. Some people absolutely would prefer to go with the quarterback at number two and say you just don't take a defensive lineman that high.
I think it's interesting because I think by far the two best players, here we stand early December, the two best players I think in the draft right now are Joe Burrow and Chase Young, and obviously it's two wildly different players.
Mm-hmm.
One, in Chase Young, fits exactly what the Lions need. They need a pass rusher. This guy is awesome. He's probably the best prospect to come out since Myles Garrett at that position. The sky's the limit with his potential. He'd be perfect. And yet, you've got a quarterback who's got back issues, who's north of 30, and you got to start thinking about the future. And if the future can, if this pick falls in your lap where Joe Burrow is a possibility,
mm-hmm.
it's hard to turn that down. I think Joe Burrow is fantastic, and it's watching him play this year, it's not that the numbers are eye-popping. I mean, the 4,300 yards passing he's got and the 44 touchdowns to 6 interceptions, all that's just mind-blowing what he's done. But to me, what passes the eyeball test, it's not the statistics. It's actually watching him in the games and how he handles pressure coming at him, his competitive spirit. We've done about his Stafford's competitive spirit. Joe Burrow wants to win. He's got something to prove, and he doesn't care. Like watching the game against Alabama, and he was just so damn focused on beating Bama and doing everything that you had to do, and he ran for the tough yards.
I feel like you're changing your mind right in front of us right now.
I'm not. I'm saying this is what makes it really tough.
All right.
Because you've got a generational quarterback, and you've got a generational defensive end. And which one's better for franchise? I mean, quarterbacks are better for the franchise, but if you think that you still have a window with Stafford for the next couple of years, and the one piece they really need desperately on his team is a pass rusher, how could you pass on Chase Young? Alas, the Lions will draft at least third or worse, and and they won't have the opportunity at either. But if they did have the opportunity at both of those guys, that's a tough decision.
Guys, what are the odds? Okay, Stafford's not on IR, right? Not yet. The same thing happens that happened last year. And he comes and plays that last game against Green Bay, which means nothing, and they win that game, and they lose themselves some draft stock, some position.
Well, I don't even want to do this, okay?
But it happened last year.
It did happen last year.
For no
year.
Reason, he played in that game.
I don't
suspect. And it's Green Bay again.
I don't suspect it will happen again, but it could be wrong.
And that might have cost them. You might not even need Chase Young this year if you had Josh Allen. Right? They're one pick away from getting Josh Allen. This year, who knows? Is it Chase Young? Is it Burrow like you guys are talking about?
It's a situation where you bring up the scenario and it's frightening, right?
They needed a pass rusher last year, too.
And the thing is, if Stafford wants to play, we all know John Jansen, right? And what does John Jansen say? Athletes want to play.
Right.
They want to play. They want to win. If they can play, they want to play. And John will be in later this week. We can talk to him about it. But they want to play. They want to win. At some point, does the organization – and we got a lot of things swirling around here. You've got – does the organization tell them, no, we're improving our draft stock? Because at the same time, the organization might be saying, and oh, by the way, because all these guys were out, the coaching staff and the regime stays. You see how these things are kind of in conflict with one another?
I know, and I guess I have my own – it's my own narrative, I guess, where I'm focused on thinking that it doesn't matter that Stafford's out and the record is going to be worse and worse and worse. That's not going to matter in the decision of what happens with Patricia and Quinn, because I can accept that the offense is going to be without their leader, but the defense should be fine, and they're not.
I just want to also point out that all those things you said about Joe Burrow kind of were being said when people were shocked that Justin Herbert came back. Remember, he was going to go number one. I can't believe it. And a year later, like as much as I like Joe Burrow as well, he's having a really good year. Last year, people were shocked that Herbert went back to Oregon because he was going to go number one, and he was a surefire guy. And a year later, he's lost a lot of stock, and people aren't so sure.
Yeah, I see different things out of Joe Burrow than I did out of Herbert. I wasn't a big Herbert guy last year, and I'm not a big Herbert guy this year. Burrow is different to me.
I'm just kind of, my first thought is it all sounds great in theory, and it was all being said a year ago about Herbert. 248-539-9797, Wayne in Detroit. Hi, Wayne.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. First of all, it's perfect time of year to discuss this because we all know the Lions are going to win out, and this whole point. as far as Stafford goes, he's taken a lot of snaps in 10 years on a lousy team. He's got a lot of miles on his body, and he's got a bad back. Those are just facts. And whether he plays the rest of the year, that decision should have nothing to do with him. In a legitimate sports organization, that decision is out of his hands. And there's absolutely no reason that the Fords can't say, we're going to sit you down and let you rest up till next year for your own health. There's nothing to do with who we plan to draft, even if you get a chance to get Burrow, which is highly unlikely. You can't pass up on that. That guy's a, you know, they don't come around very often.
Okay. And hold on.
Yeah.
Is Joe, you're calling Joe Burrow a generational talent?
I wouldn't know if I'd say generational, but I'd say he's a lot better than the number one pick was taken last year.
I don't know about Kyler that. Different skill sets. Different quarterbacks.
I think we're getting a little carried away with Joe Burrow right now. I like him too. I think he's like a lot of quarterbacks. I think he's, you know, a lot of quarterbacks have come out. He doesn't seem like a generational talent to me.
Lions won't draft him because the Lions management is playing for their jobs and they want an instant impact player.
They may not be there to make that decision for themselves. But I like Joe Burrow a lot, obviously more than you do. I think he played a tough schedule so far this year, but he's really going to be tested this weekend against Georgia, which is a real legit defense, the toughest defense he'll face. And I think he's going to change a lot of – maybe he'll change your mind on Saturday. Maybe he'll change my mind as well the other way.
I don't know if he's – it's not even really about – I think he's really, really good. And I think if I had the first pick and I needed a quarterback, he's the quarterback I would take. This whole can't pass on him – his wording was he comes around. Quarterbacks like that don't come around. He reminds me of just about every other quarterback that was number one. There's a lot of guys that have been like this that have come along, and then you turn around and it's Blake Bortles or it's Jameis Winston or it's Goff or Wentz that are pretty, you know, they came in and everybody said, oh, look.
They haven't had years like this.
I mean,
he's completed 78% of his passes.
Mm-hmm.
Not 68. 78% of his passes, a 44-6 touchdown ratio. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
I mean, if I go back 2 years and look at Baker Mayfield completed 70% of his passes, had a 43-6 touchdown interception ratio. He's got an opportunity to improve this. It'll be better.
It's very similar.
He's already better.
I know, but it's similar. And I'm not. I would take him number one. Don't get me wrong. If I needed a quarterback, he'd be the guy I'd take.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.